I give Kit these impossible assignments, you know. Well, let's have some music that would fit with the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. And, you know, when I saw she had chosen songs about heavy work and resenting work, and it's perfect. That's who he was. So let me show you something. Let me show you that. This is, I know it's not easy to see, this is Rembrandt, a painting called The Return of the Prodigal Son. He painted it shortly before his death in 1699. I wish we could see it in person. There you go. Oh, that's good. Because it's huge. It's 8.5 feet tall. It is at the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, Russia. So you see, the prodigal son has been out squandering money and dissolute living. And he comes home in tatters. His shoes are falling off his feet. And he's welcomed by his father's embrace. And if you look over here on the right side, there's the elder brother, just at the edge of the light. He is not joining this reunion. He seems rooted to the floor. Have you ever felt that way? You're standing just outside the party, just outside the love. There are three parts to this story. We talked last week about the prodigal son and how to tell when we have left home, how to know when we are in a distant country. And even if you've not been squandering money and living in debauchery, we often step away from our divine home, where we are loved unconditionally and provided for. When the prodigal son came to himself, he went back home, and his father welcomed him without judgment. The elder brother is just as important to the story. In truth, he is another lost son. You remember this story began, there was a man who had two sons. It's in Luke chapter 15. Now this elder son was in the field, working. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's got him back safe and sound." Then the brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But then this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, and you killed the fatted calf for him." How many here are the oldest child in the family? The good child, the hero child. In the interest of full disclosure, I am the oldest, and there has never been a day that I didn't believe they all loved my little brother more than me. He was cute, blonde, dimpled, affectionate, smart, funny. He had more freedom because he was a boy, and he got away with murder. And he didn't care if mother got mad. As adults, he pulled away from the family, and I stayed and was dutiful. And even though I made the choices I wanted to make, and I believe he paid a price for his choices, I envied him for breaking free. And not just him. When I take pride in accomplishing some task, I wonder why others don't work as hard or care as much as I do. When I resist some temptation, I envy those who gave in to it. On the days I'm being a good vegan and I drive past the salt lick, I think, those people may be clogging their hearts, but kill the fatted calf for me. Henri Nguyen wrote this little book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's the book I'm using in this series. He says resentment attaches itself to the underside of virtue. I picture it like barnacles. Nguyen was a Dutch priest, so he had taken vows of good behavior. And he says this in the book, "Looking deeply into myself and those around me, at the lives of other people, I wonder which does more damage, lust or resentment. There is so much resentment among the just and the righteous. There is so much judgment, condemnation, and prejudice among the saints. There is so much frozen anger among the people who are so concerned about avoiding sin." He says, "Returning home from a lustful escapade seems so much easier than returning home from a cold anger that has rooted itself in the deepest corners of my being." Wow. It's easier to stop what we're doing than what we're feeling. I believe we all have a big dose of the elder brother in us, whether you're the oldest or not, whether you ever left home or not. Have you ever thought someone was getting something you deserved instead? That's the elder brother. Have you ever looked at someone else's life or relationship and felt envious? That's elder brother consciousness. Ever felt overworked and underappreciated? We said last week the prodigal son is in each of us. Prodigal means reckless, extravagant. He asked for his inheritance early, he left home, he lost everything, and he ended up slopping hogs. We know we've left our heavenly home when we decide our will is better, head out on our own, separate ourselves from God, and we end up living with anger, jealousy, fear, resentment, greed, all those negative feelings. That's the prodigal. But the elder brother left his divine home too, and he ended up with all those same awful feelings, anger, jealousy, fear, resentment, and greed, even while he kept working and doing his duty as a son. Both these boys are lost. Both moved out of the light of God. The prodigal has come home now. He remembered he is loved. He could always go home. The elder brother hasn't come home yet. He's standing literally outside the house, feeling less than. It's interesting to remember why Jesus told this story. He was with some Pharisees, those letter-of-the-law Jews who prided themselves on doing everything right and wanted everyone to know it. They prayed out loud on street corners. They bragged about how much they tithed. They argued the details of God's law. Jesus must have felt their need to be recognized, to get credit for following the rules. So when the Pharisees criticized Jesus, "Well, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," Jesus told this story about the expansiveness of God's love. How the Father not only welcomed back the reckless boy, the sinner, but also loved the dutiful brother. When the elder son was resentful, "I've worked like a slave for you, you never gave me a party," what did the Father say? "Don't you sass me, young man, you ingrate, after all I've done for you." No, actually. The Father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. You're always with me. All that is mine is yours." The prodigal son and the elder brother both left home in consciousness. Both separated themselves from God and all the good available to them. They were both lost sheep who needed to be found. Someone who was struck by the many references in the Bible to lost sheep met a real shepherd one day and asked, "How do sheep get lost?" The answer was really profound. They nibble their way lost. Just a little here and a little there. They don't look up. "Oh, here's another nice patch of green grass." And they nibble their way lost. So do we. Just a little resentment here, a grudge there, a little bit jealous of this person, comparing myself to that one. We nibble our way into the consciousness of the elder brother. One unhealed hurt after another, just a little bit more critical self-talk. So how do we know when we've nibbled our way lost? How do we know when the consciousness of the elder brother has taken over in us? Well, I can think of three or four quick and easy ways to tell. The elder brother can't have any fun. He comes home and finds a party going on. He does not go into the house smiling, ready for a good time. He demands to know what's going on. Happy people annoy him. That's a clue. We're living in elder brother consciousness. Then notice the angry words of the elder brother about the younger one. "This son of yours," he says to his father. He's separating himself from the father and the brother. He can't feel oneness, connection, belonging. That's elder brother consciousness. Then there's the judgment. "He has devoured your property with prostitutes." Well, first of all, the father gave the boy an early inheritance to do with as he pleased. So it really was the younger son's money to spend. And we haven't been told anything about prostitutes specifically. What the prodigal son did was described as dissolute living. The older brother is just kind of embellishing the story with the awful things to help justify his anger. Oh, woe to us when our anger is justified. And sometimes it is. Sometimes we have every right to be angry, and it just makes it that much harder to heal. It's harder to get back into alignment with the divine. We can see the elder brother making himself miserable. His life really isn't bad except in his head. We create resentments with the stories we tell ourselves. Our thoughts are how we create our own hell. So, no joy, no connection, judgment, and justified anger. That's elder brother consciousness. But go a little deeper. The elder brother hates himself. He's rejecting himself and projecting it onto Dad. He hates that he stayed home, did what he was told, never had the courage to do anything unexpected. He was never brave enough to step out on his own. He's never seen the world. He hasn't left the farm. It's easy to get trapped in good behavior, doing what parents and society expect. We get praised for that. We get rewarded. And pretty soon we see good behavior as the only way to get the love we need. Keep behaving well. Do all the right things. And we're devastated if we aren't rewarded from outside ourselves. Pharisees. Even Jesus sometimes seemed to prefer the reformed sinner to those who worked hard and played by the rules. Look at the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor, the meek, the hungry." Well, what if you're not poor and hungry? What if you're not beleaguered and mourning? Does God love you less? What if you don't feel a need to be saved? I believe Jesus is saying in this story of the two sons, we all need to be saved in some way, not to atone for our sins. It's about consciousness. We need to be saved from the ways we make ourselves miserable. Unity's founders called it error thinking. So, how do we get from the consciousness of the elder brother, who's in this tailspin of hurt, self-pity, and resentment, back into the father's house? What would bring him into the party? I suggest two things. First is gratitude. The father did not scold his older son for being ungrateful. He just reminded him, "You already have everything available to you. So do we." Gratitude is the spiritual practice of remembering that. Life is a gift. Another day is a gift. Everything that comes into our lives comes bearing gifts, even if we can't see them yet, even if we refuse to unwrap them. Eventually, we can go beyond looking for gifts and simply live in an attitude of gratitude. When we choose gratitude instead of judging, we begin to see the divine everywhere. In everything, we see the gifts. So gratitude helps heal elder brother consciousness in us. The second way to heal is trust. And this is a little more complicated. Jesus told this story in a series of stories about lost sheep, a lost coin, these two lost brothers. The point in each was that God rejoices equally when anything that has been lost is found, when we find ourselves, when we discover our divinity and our constant connection. Lost and found. So you know what that means? God is seeking us. We don't have to go on a spiritual search. We already live in an ocean of unconditional love and abundance. The Father in this story assured the Son, "All I have is yours." The Father rushed out to meet the returning prodigal son, but he also came out of the house to talk to the elder brother, a sign of respect, and to reassure him of his love. Love is seeking us. The divine is seeking us. We can trust that. And don't forget, we are each on our own path. No one else can be on it. So we don't have to outrun anybody else or compete or elbow someone off the path to get what is rightfully ours by consciousness. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." We each have our niche in the universe, and it would be incomplete without us. We can heal the consciousness of the elder brother, but we don't have to heal it ourselves. We only have to allow God to find us, to love us, to trust that we are important enough to be found and loved. If a sheep is that important, surely we are when we have nibbled our way lost. So, we never find out what the elder brother decided to do. Did he step into the arms of the Father, into the divine light? Did he forgive his little brother and his father just for being who they were and for loving each other? Did he accept his own worthiness to be loved and appreciate the gifts that were already his? We don't know about him, but you have the same choice every day. Stand outside the light or let yourself feel the embrace of the divine. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a very deep cleansing breath and let it out. Center yourself. And as you feel yourself move into that place of alignment and openness, notice that just on the edge of where that light that surrounds you, there is a package. And you may allow your curiosity to take you close to it. And you notice that there is a little tag or a little card on it, and it says your name to you. Notice the feeling as you approach it. hold the idea of the size, the shape, the color. If it is covered in ribbons or just simply a simple box. Inspected it, every angle. Perhaps you've already picked it up. Go ahead and open it. And know in that deepest part of your heart, this is a gift from God, from Spirit, whatever name you have for that divine being that you are. No matter what is in that gift, it is for you and you alone. For you to help you experience the greater you, your greater yet to be. Without judgment, without any sense of disappointment or anger or resentment or even surprise and even joy, without any judgment around it, simply hold whatever this is in your thought. Knowing that it is here for you to help you become your greater yet to be. Hold that image. Hold the feelings. And gently, deeply give gratitude for whatever this gift is. It has been given to you, for you, to help you become your greater yet to be. So in that sense of gratitude, take a deep breath. And another deep cleansing breath, and join me then in the Alleluia for all of that that we are grateful for. Alleluia. Alleluia.